Welcome to Career Tours. This week, Resume Update 2020, Part 1. The questions this cast answers are, what's your new resume guidance for 2020? What should I change on my resume for 2020? And how should I deal with a gap in employment on my resume?
There are so many ways to get manager tools training now. In person, public, client, virtual, video, how do you choose? Well, the video version is for you if you need the content in bite-sized pieces, at irregular times, or with a low bandwidth device. No matter what version you choose, you'll get the same content and the same practice. No matter the delivery, you'll be a more effective manager, effective communicator, or effective hiring manager once you've been through the training. Check us out at manager-tools.com.
If you've heard any of our resume update casts from 2019, 2018, and so forth backwards, you'll know the beginning of the cast always starts the same way, and this one too. Our resume guidance never changes. One page, focused on responsibilities and accomplishments, what you've done and how well you've done it. And that's it. That's the most important thing, is what you've done and how well you've done it. That's all a hiring manager wants to know. Can you do my stuff and how well can you do it? But that said, newspapers and magazines and blogs and videos and all the other media are always touting something new in the world of resumes and hiring. And people listen to it because they're scared. They don't understand the hiring process. They don't understand the interviewing process. And so they kind of latch on to things that someone says is true. So each year we produce an update which addresses the more timely issues, the things that are being said around now. And we talk about what it is, why it's happening, and why we still make the same recommendations that we've always made. And so this year it's about changing our guidance following feedback, gaps in employment, and continuing education.
Absolutely. We are going to cover why we don't change our guidance, don't try to cover up layoffs and gaps in employment, and adding continuing education to your resume.
So we'll start with a really controversial one, why we don't change our guidance. And we haven't changed our guidance since we first put it out in 2005, so 15 years ago. And that's why we do the update cast, so that we can talk about the things that are happening, the things that people are talking about, the things that people are recommending, and show you how those things are reflected in what we do have as guidance and why we would not recommend you make those changes in a lot of cases. And a few weeks ago, we were sent an email by a listener, which kind of encompasses the question that we get most often around this and will then allow us to answer the question why we don't change the guidance. So he began telling us that he believed in what we say, that one page accomplishments, all of that stuff quantified. And he says, I believe all that stuff, but I'm constantly hearing it contradicted. The recruiters that he's speaking to tell him that he has to have a summary, or he has to have a list of skills, or his resume needs to be 5 pages long. And they tell him that's what hiring managers want. And his question really was, how do I know to trust you when you don't change your guidance ever? So before we answer that, we just want to make something really clear, which is, if a recruiter or a hiring manager wants you to change the format of your resume, and that stands between you and a job you want, change your resume.
Right. If they want you to change the format or include more sections or make it longer, as long as it's not an ethical issue, and if it's standing between you and the job, change the resume. We never have said that you should fall on your sword, and we don't want you to lose an opportunity for the sake of following our guidance specifically, ever. I mean, that's why we're here to support you and help you get hired and help you be effective. So if the hiring manager said he'd really only consider your resume if it was on pink paper and it was perfumed, we might think that he was a numpty. And we would tell you that's what you should do, because that's a situation that we support. If changing your resume is the hurdle to an interview, change it.
Very simple. Now, to answer the listener's question, he is talking about what recruiters want. And we actually have a podcast called Resume for Recruiters, where we explain that recruiters generally want longer resumes. And there is a reason for that. It's because they want as much information in writing so that they can sell you to a hiring manager. If a recruiter is a not great recruiter. What they'll do is they'll take your resume, they'll read it and have a brief conversation with you maybe about what you want and where you want to do it and how much you want to be paid. And then they'll go to a hiring manager that they know has a job and they'll say, hey, I've got these five candidates and this is one of them. And he's done this and this and this, and he's got this that you asked for and that you asked for. And he says this and this about his projects. And basically what they're doing is reading from your resume the salient facts in their mind that will persuade the hiring manager to see you. Remember, the recruiter makes money when the hiring manager hires you. And so his first task is to get you in front of the hiring manager, to get you an interview. And so what they want is loads of sales collateral, as it were, in order to have that conversation. What they don't want is for the hiring manager to say, oh, and has he done X? And only have a page and think, oh, well, I don't know, because it's not on here and I don't know if there's more or not, right? And it makes them look kind of silly. So they're not asking for a longer resume because it's more effective. They're asking for a longer resume because it's more convenient for them.
It makes their job easier.
Right. Because what they really should be doing is having a 2-hour interview with you where they go through every single job and they ask you lots of questions and they get a really good impression of you and they can talk confidently and intelligently about your experience.
And your entire career, right? That would be ideal.
Right. Yeah.
It's not what's happening.
No.
In case you thought, maybe someone out there thought that recruiters were altruistic angels, matching hiring managers and candidates for the benefit of all with, you know, love in their hearts, you're wrong. Recruiters are salespeople. They're trying to sell you. And that's not a bad thing, but let's not think that what they're doing is there solely to benefit us. They're salespeople, and a resume with only 5 accomplishments on it, even if they're great ones, really strong ones with wonderful numbers, that resume takes less time to talk about than one with 15. Most recruiters, obviously, would then rather have a resume with 15 accomplishments. There's more to talk about. You know, there's more information. They have a more full picture of you. They can answer more questions from the hiring manager should they get asked. It makes total sense from their perspective that as the go-between, they want more information about who you are and what your career has been, and they want a longer list. It makes total sense. Also because they're talking to a number of hiring managers maybe, and so all those people have different questions for them. They're looking for a more broad sense of your career. But this is not the most professional way to do their job. They really should be interviewing candidates, building their impression, like you said before, you know, getting that entire sense. But that's a whole nother cast, right?
Whole lot of can of worms where we tell recruiters how to do their jobs properly.
That's what we do, right? We tell people how to do their job. Oh, man, that's a black hole, I guess, right there.
Yeah, right. Especially with Mark and I, who were recruiters. The other thing you'll notice is that what this person knows about what hiring managers want is coming through the recruiter. So the only information he has about what hiring managers want is what the recruiter is telling him. Now, we're not saying that the recruiters are lying or that they're giving him false information. That would be going too far. But they're not going to tell you about the hiring manager who said, oh, I much prefer this resume that's only one page and has got a bunch of accomplishments on it, because that doesn't suit what they want. They're going to tell you about the hiring manager who inexplicably wants 10 pages, because then you'll give the recruiter 10 pages, which is actually what the recruiter wants. Remember, they're salespeople, and we'll give them puffery rather than lying. They're not lying, but they're going to give you the evidence that backs up what they want. And almost always, that's a longer resume.
Mm-hmm. One of the benefits of creating a one-page manager tools resume is that you're forced to consider what you've done and how well you've done it, and to distill those accomplishments down to those which are most important and most relevant to the job that you want. In fact, our listener who asked this question wants to be a JavaScript engineer, but he had a previous career as a marketer. We reconfigured that part of his resume to show his accomplishments in using data and analysis to create results and deliver projects, things that are important in coding roles. And we left out more specialized activities like writing press releases. You can imagine, of course, when he goes to the interview now, he's not going to use the writing process and the press releases as an example, but a data-driven logical project. Without the exercise of creating a one-page resume, we wouldn't have that distinction, right? It separates things.
If you can only choose five, which five do you choose? You choose the best ones, the most relevant ones, and you work on honing five sentences to be perfect rather than trying to work on 15 sentences. And so kind of, if you say take the same amount of time, you don't do such a good job. Actually, creating each one of those bullets on a resume, each one of those sentences, is not actually that easy. Is it Blaise Pascal? If I had more time, I'd write a shorter letter. It's difficult to write a 10-word sentence that says everything you want it to say in about something that you did. Maybe a project that took 2 years and you've got 10 words to kind of make this perfect encapsulation of everything you did on that project. So going through that process and really forcing yourself to make those five bullet points that you have count, I think even if you end up later adding more stuff back in for the sake of a recruiter or for the sake of someone else, then you've still been through that process and really perfected the most important parts of the resume.
Right. Of course, he could add that stuff back into the resume to make two pages for a recruiter. That's a possibility. If that's what they want, and it was standing between our listener and the job he wants, we'd say add it all back in because you do have all of that data. It's simply that crafting those perfect bullets really not only helps you to understand and is kind of an exercise in how to do resumes well, it's also about giving the hiring manager what they want. It's different for every job.
Right. That's the illusion, I think, of resumes, is that you have only one resume. It's like, I have one passport, one driving license, one resume. No, that's where you're going wrong. You can have a multitude of resumes. They all have the same information, but you just arrange it differently. So if you need a 2-3-5 page resume for a recruiter, you go through your career management document. There's a podcast about that. And you find all the things that are relevant and you put all of them in instead of the select few. If you are looking at a job as a project manager, then you have a resume where the project management accomplishments are at the top of every section for your job. And at the same time, you can be going for a sales management role and have sales management type accomplishments at the top of every job. The same job, we're going to say that in most jobs, you do a range of things. And often there's more than one path that you can go, more than one job you can go to after that job. And so the resume you have reflects like one path. There's nothing that says you can't have a resume that reflects three paths or 10 paths. I think part of this whole one page thing and like, oh, someone's telling me I should have something different, is the perception that this one page thing is a kind of set in stone, the only way, there's one and that's it. And that's not true, that you can have a multitude of resumes with the information written differently and in a different order, with a different emphasis, with different information on it. If there's something that's particularly important in one role and not another, or to one person and not another, you know, even if you were going for a single job, you might have a different resume for the executive that you're interviewing with than the manager who's actually going to manage your tasks. You might have something with some more specifics around, you know, Java 2.27y on one for someone who would understand what that is, rather than another resume for someone who wouldn't understand that, who has a more management or a more general knowledge. You might just write JavaScript and, you know, they don't need to know exactly which version it is. Sorry, that was a really, really long way around. The advantage of doing the one-page resume is that you get really intimate with your skills, what they are, how to talk about them, what to write, how to write it. And then once you are really good with that information, it helps you create these other versions which suit different circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Different scenarios, different things that you're going to get hired for, different types of roles, I mean, there's a lot of different jobs out there. And so many people have done so many different things. You know, careers span these long time frames, and you've done so many things that are worthy of being put on a resume, depending on the role you're looking for.
Mm-hmm. And it's different if you're going for a job in government than if you're going for a commercial job. What's emphasized is different. And so you would want two different resumes. And it's not, you know, two different identities. It's the same person. It's the same skills. It's the same experience, just through a slightly different lens.
Mm-hmm. And with more detail in specific areas that benefit the person trying to hire you for a job in which those details are pertinent.
Exactly.
Is your team of professionals dispersed throughout the world and not geographically co-located? If so, you may want to hear about our virtually presented Effective Manager and Effective Communicator client trainings. We're delivering them virtually now, over Zoom. The Effective Manager is $15,000 and consists of four digestible sessions of 1.5 to 2 hours each. Attendees receive our annual license, and the organization gets enterprise reporting to measure those changed behaviors. The Effective Communicator course is $10,000 for a group of up to 30 people and is a one-time four-hour session. Each attendee receives a DISC profile and access to online practice scenarios. After the session, attendees send us their video practice and we evaluate. Contact Maggie@manager-tools.com. We may not be able to physically be present with your team, yet we can still deliver our guidance and meet your team over video where relationships happen.
So his next question.
Yeah, go for it. He asked about cover letters, huh?
It seems kind of backward to me, but we'll talk about it. So he says, people ignore the cover letter unless they think from reading your resume that you're a candidate worth exploring, right? But that doesn't make any sense to me, because if you're sending your resume, you hope that you're a candidate worth exploring. And if you are, then they're going to read the cover letter afterwards. So you need a cover letter. First of all, a cover letter can be a cover email. Like, you don't actually anymore have to write a letter. It can be included. It can be in the email, because all the cover letter was the cover to your resume when it was pieces of paper and you put both in the envelope and the cover letter explained what the resume was. When you send it by email, the email explains what the resume is. So you put the information that you would have put in the cover letter into the email. So it's not like you're attaching two things. You're putting an email that says, dear so-and-so, I'm interested in this job. Here's my resume and my cover letter. That would be a bit weird. So you put the information that you would put on a cover letter into the email. And even if they don't read it, even if they only read as far as the title that says, I don't know, interested in your job as a power conductor to senior engineer. And then they open the attachment, look at the resume and go, oh yeah, you sort of fit. Then they're going to go back and read the rest of the email to find out what else you said, including how do I contact you? So it's difficult for me to see why you would not do a cover letter. Even if you think it won't help, it's not going to hurt. And if you don't, what are you going to put in your email?
That's what I was going to say. Are you going to send a blank email?
And to be fair, he's not the only person who's asked us this. Like I'm not making fun of one person. We're asked it a lot, and I don't quite understand the question. So maybe it's me. Maybe I'm just missing the point of what everybody is asking us.
Well, no, it's contradictory. Like, either they do ignore the cover letter or they don't. And the real issue is you run a risk if they're not going to ignore it. And so you need one, period. And especially if it's an email, what are you going to do? Send like a blank email? There has to be something.
And a lot of the times, if an ad or somewhere you see the job says, send a resume and a cover letter, if you don't send a cover letter, they don't look at your resume because you can't follow instructions.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that people often say is, oh, there's 400 resumes, 600 resumes for every job. Yeah, not in my experience there isn't, but okay. Even if you believe that, follow the instructions, because not following instructions is one way to weed out resumes really fast. If you've got 400 of them, you just go, okay, which ones don't have a cover letter? Or which ones didn't get sent to the right email address? Or which ones don't have the information that we asked on them? And there they are gone. So the other thing he asked us was about resume summaries and skill lists and keyword paragraphs and other odd things that recruiters often ask for and which we say that you don't need. The problem with resume summaries in particular is that they all sound the same. I can tell you, if you look at 10 resumes, they will all say energetic, intelligent go-getter who works well with others and achieves results. Like, first of all, there's no proof of any of that. You just self-described yourself, and I'm not going to trust the fact that you just self-analyzed yourself. And second of all, every single one sounds like that. There's no way to discriminate between candidates. There's no difference between them because they all say the same thing in the usually the same words.
Right. So it's not quantified.
No. And it's just not anything that's discriminatory, like as in that you can't choose between one or another. If there's 10 and they all say the same thing. The problem with skill lists is if you have someone send you a resume and it has a list of skills, but it doesn't tell you how they've used them or how well they've used them, again, it's not any use to you as a hiring manager. That the thing you want to know is not what have people done, but what have people done and how well did they do it? If I could say I can write Java, which is true, I can. I'm useless at it and I should never be allowed to, but I could put it on my skill list because I can do it. So for a hiring manager who wants to know how well you did it, the skill list without the accomplishments, again, is pretty useless. And the keyword paragraph thing is often people say if your resume doesn't have these keywords on it, it won't come up in the search for the recruiter, which is, it's not true because that's not how the applicant tracking systems work. And it's also not true because if I were looking for an engineering project manager, what I would type in is engineering project manager, because there aren't that many resumes in the system that would be too many to look at. The last job I had, I was doing engineering project managers, and that would probably call up 400 people, and I could get through 400 resumes in like 20 minutes of looking because I was good at my job. Like all the people that say it takes a minute or 3 minutes or 7 minutes to read a resume, it doesn't if you do that every single day and you know what you're looking for.
Sure.
And if you've been an engineering project manager, the word engineering, project, and manager are on your resume. The keywords appear by virtue of the fact that you've done that job. I keep coming back to JavaScript. I don't know why. If you've done JavaScript, what was the fun one we found out was new the other day? Was it Rust?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you've done Rust, it'll be on your resume. You don't need to write it in a paragraph that says, I've done this. You'll have an accomplishment that says, developed a front-end query system using Rust. And there it is on your resume. So you don't need to worry about keyword paragraphs.
I always think of the keyword paragraph thing as kind of being a little disingenuous when people write them for themselves without it. Like, I feel like it's kind of like the self-starter goal and oriented team player thing, because you're stringing together a series of words that you think that they want to hear, when if your resume reflects what you've done and what you've done meets the job and matches that job, then they're going to be searching for what's on your resume anyway. So coming up with a list of keywords is basically saying, I think people will look for this. And I think that this probably worked when the idea first came out for like a minute and a half until everyone started doing it. And now it's basically OBE by the very nature of the fact that once people heard about it, I actually was in a hotel once. I was having dinner. I was in LA for a client, and I'm sitting at the bar having dinner, and there's two people at the table behind me, and he's helping her build like a keyword paragraph. And I'm just like, this is not, of course I didn't say anything, but I felt so badly because I was thinking to myself, those things weren't on the resume. I heard her entire resume, like was there for an hour and a half, and they're just building this list. I think the cat's out of the bag on that one a little bit.
What people did was initially they write keywords, paragraphs, and then people got wise to that one. And then for a while, what you would do is they would have the keyword paragraph and they would write it in white text. They convert the text to white so it wouldn't show when you looked at it. So then you'd pull up a resume that you were looking for, you know, something in particular, and you'd pull out the resume and it wouldn't be anywhere on the resume, and you'd sit there thinking, did I type the wrong thing into my search? Because this guy can't do any of what I want him to do.
So
it's very strange.
It is disingenuous. If you have to hide it, wow. Humans are weird. It makes sense from the recruiter standpoint, right? Sadly, it's laziness on their part. They're just going to copy your summary, copy your keyword thing, put it into an email, whether or not it's helpful for the hiring manager, as we've obviously pointed out that it may not be.
The other thing that people complain about, and this person did too, but it's a frequent complaint, is so much of this seems to be a game of playing them actually seeing why your resume fits the job spec, which is right. That's exactly what this game is.
What other game would it be?
Yeah, this is about you putting on your resume the things that tell the hiring manager that you can do the job, that you have the experience, that you've done something similar, that you've can relate what you've done and how well you've done it, and that you've done it well to the things that they want. That's exactly what this game is, if you want to call it a game.
That's a bit like saying it seems that the purpose of the game is to hit the ball over the net.
Yes.
Yes, in fact, that is accurate, sir. I think if you only paid attention to that one piece of guidance, that we're hoping to put things on your resume that you have accomplished that meet the specifications of the job, if that's all you ever thought about for resumes, you could be focused on the most important thing. That's it. That's the goal.
Yeah. And there's nothing there about length or containing certain things or excluding others. It's not about the format. It's about the content and how well that reflects what the hiring manager is looking for. And we have a format that we think is the best way of conveying that content. But if somebody says, I want a different format, same content, then just change it. That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with the rest of our update. We'll be right back.